It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Here Bob goes.
Town of Pittsburgh's heart and soul.
Here Bob goes.
Steeler Nation has the best fans.
Limits goes.
Pittsburgh, the six-time Super Bowl champ.
Here Bob goes. Do, 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 do. Here Bob goes.
Goes all the way in.
Mosey goes.
Steelers, here we go. Pittsburgh's gone to the Super Bowl. Is ready to win. Here we go.
With that Kabali? That sounds like a light voice Kabali.
We'll go to war and then we need a touchdown. And if you get in his way, he's gonna knock you around.
Here Bob goes. Limits join in.
Here Bob goes. Here we go.
And you know he's going on the Steelers charter if they go to the Super Bowl. Aren't you, Bob?
We'll see. They have a long way to go yet. It seems like, you know what it seems like, gentlemen? It seems like we're already in the middle of the playoffs. It's been like this way for, you know, ever since that game in Baltimore. It's like they won a playoff game. That felt like a playoff game, but it wasn't a playoff game. Tonight is the first on what they hope is a little bit of a journey. It takes them to San Francisco, California.
And I'll tell you this, Bob, and here's where we open today. The vibes have changed pulling into Foster Plaza today. There's a big, huge Steelers sign up there. And just interacting with the populace, Limits, I'm sure you've experienced the same.
Yes.
It's just a different vibe. I mean, suddenly, the vibe around this team has changed, and it could change back. But combine that with there is a doable journey here. And I know it begins, you have to win tonight, and it's going to be as violent as a lot of the football we saw this weekend. And man, I thought that was the theme, is these teams, I think, are going to have a tough time next week who won this week because of what their bodies went through. Mm-hmm. But the path, you can see it. So close, yet so far, but you can see it. You win this. Then you have a team you already beat at the same venue you beat them at. And if the fighting Josh Allen's, Limits, get ready to cue up the song again. If the fighting Josh Allens win again, and I don't see why they can't, because my opinion on them has changed completely too. They win in Denver. You're hosting the AFC title game.
Here, we go. We got Highsmith,
here Bob goes. First class on the Steelers charter today. First class.
Doesn't Roger Wood do a great job with this every year, Bob?
He does.
He really does.
And he keeps going and just replace the names.
Bob, you can see it from here. That's my point to open the show today. It's got to start tonight, but my God, has a path opened for the Steelers. It really has, and they're going in healthy, and I'm thinking healthy, especially on defense. They're fully manned on offense with DK Metcalf back. I think they should win this game, and then it's off to New England. But first things first, this is starting to become real.
Yeah, it is, and it's because of what you said, and we talked about this throughout the course of the season. Are there elite teams left in the AFC? If so, who? I think every team has a flaw part of their game, and yet here they are, the Steelers, looking like fresh, ready to go, and man, if they do take this game, the pressure's going to mount on other teams. I mean, there is a lot of pressure on New England. They will, of course, look back at that first game with Pittsburgh if it gets to that and say, you know what, we self-destructed. We gave the ball away five times. They'll be trying to change that. But they still gave the ball away last night a couple of times and got away with it. So their defense is good. But before that happens, this Houston team is legit defensively. I'm more concerned with how Aaron Rodgers fares physically from this, if I'm them, you know, because he can get beat up. I've seen that team go after quarterbacks. They average like 9 hits per game.
Sure.
They're not shy about doing it.
Destroyed Josh Allen.
And that's hard to do. But they do. But speaking of him, how about his willingness to keep
– Oh, my gosh.
He got beat up every – I thought he was going to be out with a concussion at first. I thought he broke his hand off the helmet. Then I thought his knee was all messed up.
Don't
but
he you
still
think,
kept playing.
I know. Nance and Romo were overreacting to that? I mean, Romo stinks these days. Can we agree on that,
Boys,
Bob?
You're talking about things have changed.
He's gone downhill. And they're saying every 5 seconds that Josh Allen, oh, my God, how is he going to complete the game? Romo's playing doctor. I think he has a broken hand, his swollen hand, then the knee. I thought they were going to declare him dead at halftime, Bob.
Yeah, they overdid a little bit on that. I will grant you that. But it's just a testament to his ability to keep going. And he's the one of this whole playoff AFC where he's looking at it and say, I got a path myself. My path is
he sure does.
I'm the one who's going to take them there.
Yeah.
And we'll see what he can do. Denver's not an easy place to play. But before that, I think this atmosphere tonight is going to be big. And I think it hopefully will make a difference in how the Steelers start games. You cannot start the way they've been starting, the way they've started their previous 6 playoff games. Last week fell behind 10-0. Before that, they fell behind to Cleveland 10-0, couldn't overcome it.
28-0. You're talking the last couple weeks.
Yeah, a couple of weeks. You cannot do that against this team.
Right.
This team gets better as the game goes on.
I agree completely. On the good omen side, again, wake up today and it is bitter cold out. At least it was around my house, which I imagine is everywhere today, Bob. The weather can't travel that much.
The wind.
The snow. To see snow on the ground. And of all the numbers that are flying around this game, Steelers on Monday Night Football, Texans have won 9 in a row, Steelers have won 4 of 5, Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs. The two that stand out to me, and I think they're real, even though the cast of characters is different or has changed, this is real, is that dome teams over the last decade, as I heard my friend Adam Crowley, he's your friend too, Bob.
Yes, he is.
Is he a friend of yours?
How about West Virginia took down Kansas?
How about that?
He's a friend and a mentor.
After Jamie Dixon blew a 15-point lead against Kansas at Fog Allen with 5 minutes left.
I know. I was watching that
game. Anyway, go ahead.
The one that stands out, two of them actually, and they're related. In the last decade, domed teams are 1-14 when they go outdoors and play under 40 degrees. In other words, when domed teams go to play cold weather games, it has been almost impossible for them to win. And then the Texans have never won a road game in their playoff history. They're 0-6. Those two things stand out in a big way. This is just unfamiliar territory to them. They're not used to being in the bitter cold and wind and snow. And at least there's snow on the ground. I think that's even a message when they woke up today, Bob. You're not in Kansas anymore. How does that phrase go from The Wizard of Oz? What's the line limits?
You're not in Kansas anymore, Dorothy.
Yeah.
Toto. Yeah. I forgot about Toto. He's in the basket.
I think that's very real. I've seen it. I've seen it too many times. I see it with Tua and the Dolphins. I used to see it with Dolphins coming into Buffalo in the Marino days for playoff games, or any team coming into Buffalo. Now, Cincinnati won there, but Cincinnati's also a cold weather team. Kansas City won there recently, but they're a cold weather team. It's real. I'm telling you, that part of it is real. And it's going to play out tonight because the worst of the four units on the field, excluding special teams, which could play a big factor, I might add, by far the worst of the four units on the field tonight, in my opinion, is Houston's offense. Do you agree?
Yes. We were talking about that yesterday because I think their special teams is pretty good. They got a kicker who had more field goals than anyone else, made 44 of them. So he can match Boswell in terms of, you know, accuracy and ability to get it done in clutch situations. But their offense, you know, they're going with a fourth string running back who's done a very good job, by the way. But at the same time,
he stinks, Bobby. Averages 3 points. You're talking about Woody Marks?
Yes, but at the same time, he is a young kid who is taking that opportunity to do well, even though they lost Joe Mixon, which I thought was going to kill them at the beginning of the year because I thought they relied on the run game. He went out, so it's Chubb and it's Marks. And I don't yet trust C.J. Stroud, who can make mistakes in these kinds of situations. Now, in time, will people talk about Stroud being an advantage over other quarterbacks? I would say yes, but tonight, to me, you got to give a huge advantage to Aaron Rodgers' mind, his experience, what he brings to these sorts of games.
Outdoors,
And how that experience helps others around him. So, you know, I wonder about this outdoor thing, only because I said, you know, C.J. Stroud played at Ohio State. He played in a lot of cold weather games.
Yeah.
And if you look at their roster, a lot of guys have done it. They just don't do it now. Does that mean they've forgotten how to play in those conditions?
To me, Bob, it's about practicing in it. It's about functioning in it. It's about being used to it. It's about having an NFL career in it, like Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. And I think the numbers speak for themselves. When dome teams go on the road, there's trouble. 1-14 is a pretty big number, is it not?
It is. Who was the one that won?
Somebody just told me this. Oh, no. It was the Rams on the road with that John guy at quarterback. Remember we did
John
that?
John Wolford.
John Wolford. They went on the road and beat somebody, Bob. I can't remember. But somebody told us that Donnie Football had that at his fingertips. Not only that, Bob, but when this team goes on the road in their division, it's to Jacksonville. It's to another dome in Indy. It's to Nashville. Maybe once in a while you get a cold game there. They're not used to it. I don't think they're going to function in it. But you touched on another thing that I think is very important. Critical tonight. Take 3 points.
Yes, we talked about that coming in this room today.
3 points. You're not going against Lamar and Derrick Henry. You go down. You get down there at the end of the half this week. You take that. Usually, I'm a go for it kind of guy in the NFL. I am, but in this kind of game, and based on the lessons that we should have learned from this weekend, you take points when you can get them, especially with that kicker. I know, Boz. Whether we think the extra point got blocked or what, he hit a 57-yard field goal in that weather on Monday. So over the weekend, you had a Bears almost losing because of a fourth down play. The Rams almost losing because of a ridiculous fourth down decision at the end of the first half. The Jags losing partially on account of getting stopped on a fourth down. The Chargers losing partially on account of getting stopped on a fourth down.
Every one of those teams.
Read the room. Read the room. Trust your kicker and get 3 points whenever you can. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely, especially in this time of the year. And I remember Chuck Knoll said it best. He'll take points every single time. This is before metrics went wild. And all these metrics have gotten in everybody's head about go for this, probability of that. Hey, there's still another team out there. And the thing about the Buffalo game, Jacksonville had a golden opportunity. They had picked off Josh Allen. They had an opportunity to kick three there. And if they did at the end of the game, it wouldn't have been as...
No, they recovered a fumble.
Whatever it was.
Yeah.
But they should have turned that into points.
Yes.
Instead,
turn it into points.
They go for it, miss, and then what does Josh Allen do? He goes 92 yards the other way for a touchdown. So my point is, you can change the whole dynamic of your game just by being crazy on fourth down because metrics tell you to do so. Common sense is, and that says, kick the field goal, take the points. Points are never bad in a playoff game.
People have it so locked into their head, and Tomlin does say this, like, you got to score in the red zone, got to convert in the red zone. Kicking field goals this time of year is no way to win. Kick a field goal.
Yeah.
Kick a field goal. I saw a game one time, what was it, when the Ravens were advancing, and I think won the Super Bowl that year, if I'm not mistaken, beat Peyton Manning in the playoffs 15-6. If you think you have a really good defense and you're playing at home, kick field goals. Get four of them and a touchdown. You got 19
Especially
points. That should win this game.
The Texans. That's going to be their way of doing business. If they get down there,
no doubt. That's what they do.
They'll trust Fairbairn, and then they'll trust their defense.
They are not a good red zone team. I think they've kicked more field goals than anybody in the league, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 44-48. And that's by far the most in both categories, made and attempted.
It wouldn't surprise me at all if this game came right down to the kickers. And by the way, that factors into my final score for tonight, Bob, which is 15-10 for the Steelers. 15-10.
I have 19.
Let's get right to it. 19-9 for the Steelers?
Same thing. I think it's going to be a really defensive, just like last night, it was 3-3 or we're 6-3 all the way to the end before a touchdown was scored in that game.
Wonder Twin, what do you got?
I have the Steelers winning 21-17. This is the best I've felt about a Steelers playoff game in a very long time, guys. Very long time.
Bob mentioned the start tonight in their sixth playoff game losing streak, which began with New England in a non-competitive, really, AFC title game. The Steelers have been outscored 73-0 in the first quarter, which is almost something you can't believe. Like you say, all right, I'm going to go look that up to make sure that's right. No, it's right. 73-0, which speaks to an incredible lack of preparation, getting outcoached, bad practice weeks, bad plans, everything else, bad scripts, whatever you want to say. It's been horrifying.
And you can't warm up to it.
And you're going to lose if that happens tonight, just like you've lost the past six, Right, Bob?
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be 21-point deficit. In this case, with this defense you're playing, if you go down by 10, you know, at some point in the first half, you're going to have a hard time coming back because that's what they want you to do. They want you to go down the field. They'll trust their corners and the pressure they'll put on a quarterback.
Right.
And I know there's ways to go against that and come up with different schemes and things that may work against them, but at the same time, now the margin for error is very, very slim, and you don't want to put that. I'd rather see it go the other way. If the Steelers come out and have a good first quarter, go ahead, C.J. Stroud. Let's see what you can do down the field. And he may not be able to handle the Steelers' pressure, which will come after him as well. So,
and I do like the Steelers' newfound tush-push and all the variations of it. I think that is a major way. I've seen too many games. Last year's AFC title game between the Chiefs and the Bills, you could tell as the game progressed that Andy Reid, Steve Spagnuolo, those guys identified short yardage as the key to winning. And they outcoached the Bills in that AFC title game. The Bills couldn't get a yard when they needed one. The Chiefs did. And the Chiefs found a way to stop Josh Allen on those seemingly unstoppable keepers. They prepped. They won the game on one-yard situations. I've seen it. This Steelers team, past few years, last year, couldn't get a yard when they needed one. I could point to six different games from last year. Cleveland on the road being one where they couldn't get a yard. They couldn't get one. Now they have a plan. I realize it's been stopped once or twice, but I love this tush-push.
Isn't it sort of ironic? The Bills, your team, hated the tush-push, didn't want it around. The Steelers were not very happy about it, I think. And yet both teams have now adopted it. And yesterday, Buffalo goes 4-for-4
right
on tush-pushes.
And some may think it's silly to have this as part of the opening segment, but it's that kind of game tonight. It's field goals. It's 3rd and 1. It's 4th and 1.
Punt may be a good play.
It's 3rd and 2. Yes. And there will be times tonight for sure where Aaron Rodgers will get buried, where it'll be a 3 and out where they go minus 13 yards because this defense is that good. But you can't turn it over, and then you punt, and then you play defense. You win this game. And to me, as I say that out loud, Bob, it's a Tomlin type of game.
It is. And he's been preaching that ever since he's been here. Win the turnover margin. Make sure you don't give the ball to them. Make sure you protect it yourself. And when they do that, they're pretty good, and they need to do that tonight. So,
and there's no rule written or no law on the books that I know of that says if you do.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
You turn it over, the game's over.
No.
Like, I've never
that.
Seen a team. No, I know,
but
you're not saying that.
Typically, the statistics will show you that.
Yeah, but last night we saw
New England twice turned the ball over.
Inside their own 5, yeah. Did they not? Or inside their own 10 anyway. And if you have a really good defense that holds or holds them to a field goal there, it's not the end of the world. Same thing with the Bills. They fumble a kickoff and then they stop Jacksonville because Jacksonville went for a long 4th and 2 and had their quarterback run the ball. It's not the end of the world if you make one, but you can't be turning the ball over in a playoff game, and that's been another
especially
thing
in the red
that,
zone.
That has plagued them.
Can't do it. And missing out on a 4th and 1 in the red zone is turning the ball over in the red zone. That's what you've done.
For
you
sure.
You essentially have turned the ball over.
What's your feeling out there? Your honest feeling. Are the playoff Steelers going to show up, meaning in a bad way, where they either get blown out or lose in some sort of heartbreaking fashion? Or do they rise to the occasion outdoors with a little bit of snow on the ground and a nice frigid wind and a dome team coming in here with no running game and a very questionable offensive line? I honestly believe they're going to win this game.
That's another check mark for the Steelers, their offensive line, I think, in this matchup.
Yeah.
They have the better one, even with Dylan Cook in there. He has played really well. I mean, those guys in the middle are really good. Samalu with Frazier and Mason McCormick, they've been as solid as can be.
You see where Penei Sewell made first team All-Pro, and man, some of the clips of what Derek Harmon did to that guy. You know, you think DK Metcalf got in trouble for taking a swipe at somebody. Derek Harmon, what he did to Sewell that day was downright dangerous. I mean, he was incredible. I think this is going to be a command performance for the Steelers defense. Am I being fooled? Have I been fooled again? Are they going to get run on by Woody Marks? Are they going to get torched for a couple big plays by C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins? Am I wrong? I don't think I am, Bob, and I don't think you are either. In fact, I think a late defensive touchdown makes this a 22-10 game. How do you like that?
It might. Again, if you put their offense in a position where they have to come back and score touchdowns, big advantage Pittsburgh Steelers. So it works both ways there. I think the Steeler defense, even though they're not mentioned and they don't necessarily ranked where Texans are, when they're playing their game, they're very, very difficult to play against.
Yeah, I heard.
Now, the secondary still worries me in many – the safety
position. The safeties, yeah.
Yeah, I think that can be a problem. And I also think a guy like Dalton Schultz can he's
a lot of yards after the catch for him.
And he goes over the middle, and safeties normally either that or somebody in the middle. And that's a matchup that they have in their favor. So
not enough weapons. Not enough weapons, I don't think, on that side of the ball. Although the Steelers' safeties have been concerning, and I'm sure that C.J. Stroud is going to take a couple shots down the field. He is a very good deep ball passer. He is.
Yes, he is.
And he's going to take a couple shots, but this is not like the Ravens game. It's just not. I heard John McClain, who's a great writer, been covering football in Houston forever, saying he believes that the Texans will try to do what the Ravens did to the Steelers' secondary. And it's just not the same because you don't have to allocate so many resources to stop Michael Jordan in their backfield. Well, they had two of them. They had Lamar and Derrick Henry. They weren't going to let Lamar run, and they were going to try to minimize Derrick Henry. And if you're going to do that, you have to allocate tons of resources. And they got beat, really, in a couple of short-yarded situations where they dared Lamar to take that risk of going over the top or turning the ball over on fourth down. And to the Ravens' credit, they made those plays. This is a totally different dynamic. They're concerned about the deep ball in this game. In fact, that might be concern A. Last week, it was concern D. And they got burned. It's just a different opponent that doesn't have nearly the firepower that the Ravens did.
No question about that. And when you do, and I think largely they did what they wanted to do against Derrick Henry. The stat sheet says he had over 100 yards, but two of those runs accounted for 75%. The rest of the time, especially in the second half, Joe, they did not let Derrick Henry become a factor. And that's where he's been a factor in some of these bigger playoff games they've played. So they did that. They don't have to. Now, that doesn't mean you can't worry totally. If you put so much into stopping the deep ball that you forget there is a run game. I mean, that kid has the ability to break some runs. And so does C.J. Stroud. And that's
C.J. Stroud's
thing.
A good runner. He is
a guy who doesn't want to, but when he does, can be extremely effective that way. And that's the other part of this that you have to watch out for. That's not a concern for the Texans. They're not worried about Rodgers doing it. The Steelers should be concerned with Stroud.
I mean, Bob, Woody Marks just doesn't scare me. I'm sorry. His longest run of the season is 23 yards. His most yards in a game is 74 against Buffalo, who has a horrendous run defense. That's concern D for me. When you mentioned
that's fine.
The other ones.
I'm just saying, if you totally, look the other way and specifically
stop the
go
run
deep,
on your way to the pass, that's what I would do in this game.
Right, but I'm also saying that if you're not going to allocate a lot of resources into doing that, you may get burned once in a while.
Could, yeah, I'm willing to take that chance. And then CJ, I mean, he's okay, Bob. He ripped off a 30-yard run against Baltimore earlier this year. But other than that, look at his recent games. 5 yards, 0, 0, 10, 5, 0. Like, he's capable, but you're not looking at one of the elite running quarterbacks in the league by any stretch.
All I'm saying is
stretch.
If you allow him to get outside when, break the contain, as they say,
that's
a problem because he can do it.
412-928-9370. Your level of concern here, the vibe that you have right now. Limits has, what's the score, 21-17
I have
Steelers?
21-17. The Steelers will win this game tonight, yes.
I have 15-10 Steelers. Bob has
19-9.
Yeah. We're all sort of seeing a similar game. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be surprised if they held the Texans without a touchdown. How do you like that? Obviously, since I'm only predicting Houston to score one, then I think they could score none. Limits?
Yeah, I would be surprised by that. And like, just because the level of offensive production in these games outside of last night's Chargers and New England game has been pretty high. So
especially in the fourth quarter. It's been legendary fourth quarter stuff here.
Yeah.
We're making C.J. Stroud out to be not that good of a quarterback, which I don't think he is. I don't think he's bad where they're not going to score. They're not going to put up a touchdown.
I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback. I'm saying he has a bad offensive line and not enough weapons in an environment like this against this defense. That's all I'm saying. He's a victim of his circumstances, and I think he will be tonight. And I certainly hope our guy Limits here brings the same energy for Justin Herbert that he does for Lamar and his playoff performances. Limits?
We'll get to that, I'm sure.
Why don't we get to it right now? See, Justin Herbert's done nothing in the playoffs, Bob.
No,
nothing.
They blew a big lead. Not that he responsibly did it by himself. What was that score? 27-0 with Jacksonville, and they came back and won that game way back when. He's 0-3 in the playoffs. You could say the same for Trevor Lawrence, another guy who, you know, first overall, they expected bigger things. Again, I'm not pinpointing blame exclusively on them, but as a quarterback, you get those associations to whether or not you win games or lose games. Justin Herbert, I felt bad in a way for him, though, because he has been just absolutely killed this year by his offensive line.
He has.
More than anyone. It's difficult to function like that with nobody open in the secondary, and quite frankly, last night...
I disagree with that, Bob. I agree with the ESPN account. Herbert, for most of Sunday's game, the Chargers gave Herbert ample protection, and he made questionable decisions.
I'm not going to dispute that, but I think I'm talking about the large scope of the year. He's gotten beaten up because their receivers can't get open.
He's also done nothing now in three playoff games, like literally nothing.
0-3 in his career, yeah.
On the second of six Patriots sacks Sunday, Herbert drifted around the pocket before slipping on the grass and falling. And he's winless in the postseason, with each of the losses coming in embarrassing fashion and highlighted by his poor performance. That's indisputable. He's never had a good playoff performance, Limits.
Yeah,
and that's why
true.
I picked him as the sixth best quarterback in these AFC playoffs. Prove it once.
Yeah, exactly.
Anybody that thinks that the Chargers' offensive line played well was watching that game with their eyes closed. I mean, they just were not good.
Let's talk about Justin Herbert.
Yeah, but I think their offensive line.
At least Lamar's played some good playoff games. Some great ones, actually.
Yes.
Herbert's never played one.
Yes.
All right, as long as we're on the same page.
This goes before mine now.
How tough it is.
We keep talking over me, Joe.
Yeah, go.
All right. Yeah, I mean, Herbert played really bad. Like, he did. He made poor decisions. He didn't get the job done. I thought in the second year with Harbaugh under their belts that this year was going to be different for them. I thought they were going to go into New England and at least cover. Were they going to win? The line was 3.5, so I picked the Chargers to either lose by a field goal or win the game. And yeah, Herbert did not show up again. He did not play well enough. And I think that now there really should be real questions about him as a quarterback, especially because the playoffs matter. The playoffs matter more than the regular season.
Jim Harbaugh came there with all, you know.
I'm heartbroken to see both Harbaughs lose, Bob, in the last week.
And Jim just has that look like he's confused about what's going on out there sometimes, especially offensively.
Yeah.
So.
Well, let's kick it off. Oh, go ahead, Bob.
I'm just saying it's tough. That's tough, tough to win. All these teams in the playoffs, most of them never been there before, never have won anything, despite having these legendary quarterbacks who were first overall picks or high number one picks. It's just a hard thing to do.
Now, it's been pointed out to me over the last week with my C.J. Stroud commentary, and I do think he's good. I like him. I think he's a different player on the road. That's what I think. And somebody said, well, he's won a playoff game each of the last 2 years. Yes, he has, playing in the Dome. Then he goes out to Kansas City and does nothing, absolutely nothing. And then the year before, they win again in the Dome, or they win that year. They crush Cleveland, and he's unbelievable. And then they go into Baltimore, and he does nothing. Absolutely nothing. Two outdoor playoff games, zero touchdown passes, two lopsided losses, Bob. That's the story.
It's funny how this goes. It is a night of streaks. You know, the Steelers have gone 9 years almost without a playoff win. That's a streak. But they've won 23 straight on Monday. That's a streak. Houston is 0-6 all-time on the road. You know, in outdoor conditions, that's a streak. They've won 9 in a row to end the season. That's a streak. All the streaks.
Which one means the most to you?
I think the Steelers winning on Monday. There's something about it. And I believe that, like all streaks, something's going to come to an end. I think this 9-game win streak is going to come to an end tonight.
Now, all of us, based on our predictions, maybe not so much Bob, think that the Texans have a very reasonable chance to win, having said this.
Yeah, definitely.
With that defense,
you can,
and Mike Tomlin's recent history, I give them a 40% chance to win this game, maybe 45, but I'm picking the Steelers.
Yeah, I think it could be closer to 50-50. I do. I think it depends on how, you know, this team responds to that pressure they're going to feel. And Aaron Rodgers is a big checkmark advantage-wise because he's been there, done that. He will know how to get rid of the football. And I think the Gainwell-Warren connection out of the backfield is going to be a big part of it. I really do.
And I'll tell you this much. If Houston can come in here and win this game, I don't know that they're going to be stopped. I think that would be an unbelievable confidence builder.
To New England,
builder.
Another outdoor place.
Right, and that would be a battle too.
That would be a battle. You know, but I think they don't have the quarterback. I don't think they're going to have the quarterback advantage in any of these games, Houston.
I agree.
No matter who they play.
Well, maybe some people might say Bo Nix. Not me.
I don't know about that. I think Bo Nix is a better quarterback than C.J. Stroud.
What do you think, Limits?
I think it's close.
Buffalo's got to play them on a Saturday.
I'd say Stroud is probably better.
We're going to find out a lot Saturday. Yeah.
Here's the big disadvantage of this night, playing on a Monday night. As much as you like it, Steelers have done well on it. It gives you one less day on what will be a physical, just tough game to play. And then they got to respond and go on the road this week
right.
to a place where this team has a one-day advantage in terms of rest and preparation.
It's going to be tough on all these teams. The Bills, as an example, that was just a downright violent football game yesterday, and now they have a six-day week. They got to play on Saturday.
Right.
The Bears.
On the road.
That game was a bloodbath. They got to come back and play now.
Was that fun to watch?
And San Fran, too. Great games this weekend, wasn't there? Your vibe on the Steelers, 412-928-9370, off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Is this going to be more about the Steelers playing at home and reversing recent history, or are you still of the mindset that this is Mike Tomlin in the playoffs?
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob, I'm so excited, I don't know how to contain myself right now. I mean, this is why we lift all them weights.
It's playoffs.
Right?
Yeah, people love this time of the year because you get such drama, and we saw it all play out this weekend for sure.
Man, it's almost like Steelers-Ravens kicked off the playoffs in a weird kind of way, and it was a memorable. I saw a bunch of numbers about has never been this many close games in the same playoff weekend ever. Now, of course, they've beefed up the schedule.
And lead changes,
a bunch
too,
of games.
Late in the game.
It was phenomenal. The Bills-Jags had more lead changes than any in the fourth quarter than any game in playoff history, they said. Didn't they?
Yeah.
Did I get that right, Limits?
Four. It's tied for the most. Four in both those games. So it's a back and forth. You don't see that kind of stuff. And actually, to me, it started in the Steelers-Ravens game.
Yeah.
Because that fourth quarter, again, it felt like a playoff game. It was for both teams. They had to win the game to get in, so it had all kinds of playoff vibe to it. And it went right down to that crazy
It was a playoff
quarter.
Game. It felt like a wild card game in baseball right. when they used to have those.
That's why it feels like this is not the first game of the playoffs.
Right.
It feels like I've already been in it for a
Tell me
bit.
The numbers you were just telling me during the break, Bob, when we were enjoying each other's company and talking with Limits about how he admonished me in the first segment.
Well, BetMGM came out with their odds of the remaining teams trying to get to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And win the Super Bowl. By far, the Steelers have the longest odds at plus 5,000.
Wow.
The Rams have the best at plus 300.
Does that surprise you? They're coming off a real near miss against a pretty mediocre team.
Yeah, it surprises me, too, that San Francisco, although they have longer odds, they're still by far better ahead of the Steelers in terms of, I don't know about San Francisco. They have their injuries. They have a lot of them. Now George Kittle added to it. So
I think Seattle should be the favorite.
Should be.
To win the Super Bowl, but certainly in the NFC.
If San Francisco goes in there and gives them something that they did to San Francisco a few weeks ago to win that number one
Really?
Seat.
At this point, at San Francisco, I admire, but I think they're done.
Division rivals are tough.
So. Yeah, you're right about that. But the point is that the Steelers have by far the longest odds, which again points me in this direction, Bob, a win tonight. Because I think a lot of people, either secretly or very publicly, think that the Texans are going to make a run and get to the Super Bowl. You beat this team, and suddenly eyes are open to the Steelers in a big way. I think everything changes perception-wise. Do you?
Totally, because you're down to four teams after that, and all you have to do is win a game, and you possibly could get another home game at Acrisure Stadium in a rematch with Buffalo if everything works that way. Still, the odds of that are not very good, generally. But
well, wait a second. Why aren't the odds that good?
Because you have to win this game. You have to go to New England, win. They have to go to Denver and win.
They're the favorite.
I understand.
So the odds are actually in their favor, although New England would be how much of a favorite over the Steelers, do you think? Two and a half?
Given, I think it would be more than that, only because it's there. The Steelers have one less day to prepare. I think it would be more like 4.5.
Maybe. But the Steelers have won there, and the guy that they tortured in that game, at least from a turnover standpoint, Drake May cut up the Steelers in that game. Make no mistake about that. But afterward, you remember T.J. Watt saying we knew from watching tape that he could turn the ball over? Mm-hmm. I don't think that's changed against a good pass rush.
No, he turned it over last night,
very
too.
Careless with the ball last night.
Right. The one thing they have done better since the Steelers saw them is run the football. Specifically, Ramondre Stevenson. He fumbled a lot in that game, but Mike Vrabel stuck with him, and he has been dynamic for the last 10 games.
Two good running backs. I think they win tonight, and you can see it from here. That's all I'll say. You can see it from here. 412-928-9370. But I don't want to mislead anybody. It is a tall task tonight. It is. Limits, let's go to the calls.
All right, let's do it. We have a murderer's row lineup of legendary callers to the fans.
Wow.
It's that time. It's playoff time, so you know that I'm surprised. It'll be like Emmanuel. It'll probably be Anthony from Oakland.
Anthony
right?
from all Oakland. Emmanuel. Who else? Rob from West Mifflin.
Oh, yeah.
Those are all my guesses.
Yep.
And more, huh?
Emmanuel starts us off.
Let's go, Emmanuel. What's up?
Hey, what's up? I don't think the past transgressions have any relevancy on this game at all. There's too much roster turnover. There's
Think who has relevancy on this game?
All our past transgressions. What happened 7 years ago has no impact on this game. There's too much roster turnover. We got a different quarterback now, a quarterback that doesn't turn the ball over much. And you look at most of those games, especially against Jacksonville and Cleveland, we turn the ball over a lot.
But you do have the same head coach, which means the same guy making your defensive game plan and the same guy in charge.
That coach has won a playoff game before. So I just think things are starting to line up a little bit.
He has won a playoff game before, but Limits was a toddler then.
Yeah. And I think the home field advantage is going to matter a little bit. And I think the fact that we are starting to have a run now, we won 4 of the last 5 games. We got a good chance. I picked us to win a playoff game before the season started. I don't want to change now. I want to roll with it. So I think we're going to win this ball game. It's going to be close, and I trust Rodgers down the stretch more than I do C.J. Stroud.
I agree with that. I think the quarterback with the experience on his plate is certainly a choice for me. I think it's going to go right down to the very end as well. All these games seem to do it. Fourth quarter, everything opens up. Even in this case, I don't think it opened up as much as we saw in the Bears-Packers game, for example, or even the Buffalo game. But I do think you'll see some movement late in the game, and it may come down just like we saw last week to a kick as time expires. Mm. It's going to be that kind of a game.
Bob, did Limits tell you I took the producers out, or at least some of them, to a steak dinner last
week? I knew
you
were going to do it. Yeah. I haven't heard details of it, though.
He got a steak that was bigger than him. Seriously, it weighed more than him.
I ate the whole thing.
How many ounces?
16-ounce New York strip.
Oh, boy.
Incredible.
16?
I think that's the biggest steak I've ever eaten.
That's more than you weigh.
But I didn't feel bad because Joe and Donnie and Dom also got a steak, but it was like a $4 price difference for a much smaller steak.
No, and
I told him
to enjoy himself, Bob. I thought Donnie...
New York strip's a good steak, though.
It's a good bang for
your buck. If you're going to rank your steaks...
Was it great? Yeah.
Everyone seems to think fillets, and I like fillets.
I like fillets the best.
But Delmonico has a lot of flavor to it.
Yeah.
Ribeye could be the best when it comes
for
to
sure.
flavor. And then New York strip's the same thing. Have you ever tried Tomahawk?
No, never. I've always
if it
been
was
a
on the
New
menu and you
guy.
Saw the price, would you still order it knowing Joe was paying the bill?
Well, how much is the tomahawk? How much more?
Like $150.
No, I would not.
I want to see him try that, one of those bets where you eat the whole cow and you get like your next steak
free. He'll do
free.
It. If he can handle
do
16
it.
Ounces.
I was shocked.
Me?
Yeah.
There's no chance I could eat any more.
You wiped that thing out and you seem to be ready for more.
That's because I hadn't eaten all day.
Did you have
my
dessert
appetite.
Too?
No, I couldn't eat dessert.
Here's what we ordered, Bob. 3 fillets, 1 for intern Dom, 1 for Donnie Football, 1 for me, and then Limits got his steak. We split the sweet potato crumble, Brussels sprouts, and mashed potatoes, plus we had 2 orders of bread. And then I thought Donnie went a little overboard by ordering an entire Caesar salad for himself before. Do you think that was unnecessary, Limits? Maybe slightly.
Did he add protein to it?
You got to remember, this is also Donnie's wedding year. So this
is the
year of Donnie.
Anything Donnie wants, Donnie gets for now.
And he's also going through tasting,
right.
So he's probably interested in tasting everything because he has to make decisions based on the menu at his wedding.
Yeah. And then for dessert, I got creme brulee. Is that how you say that, Bob? It was phenomenal. And intern Dom got bread pudding, which I thought was unnecessary because we had already had bread before the meal and then giant steaks and everything else, although I ate half of his, and Donnie got a piece of cheesecake. So a good time
Any
was had by all.
Alcoholic beverages ordered?
No, that would have.
That would have taken the
We
bill.
Did this Friday. Give me the over-under on the bill before taxes. And you know who footed the bill.
Yeah, I know. So I'm going to say four steaks, all that. Without alcohol, it may not be as
no
high
alcohol.
As you think. So I think it'll be $435.
Nice guess. $377.74.
Okay. Where did nice tip on that. So yeah,
nice
yeah,
tip.
Yeah.
I always leave a nice
you
tip.
Leave a nice
yes.
tip. Yeah.
I was a restaurant worker, a waiter.
So was I. I made
for
pizza.
10 years. I was a busboy. I was a dishwasher. I was
I think
a pizza
we've all
cook.
Had those experiences, yeah. and they're all good. You know, I worked at a place called Bambino's in Sewickley.
Did you?
Flipping pizzas.
I worked at a place called Sirloin. They had a picture of a guy in a top hat. He was Sirloin in Squirrel Hill. Limits
that.
Was a porta potty cleaner. Did you know that, Bob?
No, you didn't.
No, Joe's just throwing stuff out there, you know.
Well, that would make
you, from behind.
You know, you would understand how difficult some of the assignments
that fits
are
the
that
theme.
People have in real life.
My first job was as a lifeguard.
Oh, my goodness. I would not
you imagine?
Be,
thankfully, nobody ever needed
be
saved.
The guy who's calling for help and see limits on
No, he couldn't lift anybody out of the water. Except unless a little squirrel got in trouble in the water, Bob.
That's why they gave us those floaties. Yeah. Those little floaty, not to wear, Joe, but those little guard.
Bob, imagine if you were in trouble carry. In the water, and then to compound matters, you look up and a little tiny man named Limits is coming out on a floaty.
He'd probably be in more trouble.
Just end it right there. Forget this.
Oh, my goodness.
You'd say, man, I don't want to drown, but here comes Limits. I'm definitely drowning
it's
now.
My last chance. Jeez. What are the odds?
What
MGM.
Other? What other... jobs did you have limits out of curiosity?
So my good buddy Bruce at Definitely You, I worked for him as a cashier for about 2 years and as a store manager. He said you can call yourself a store manager on your resume.
Yeah, that's
so that
good.
That was fun.
That's good.
And just a lot of I worked as a parking attendant once in like 2019.
So
remember
did
that
I.
light festival, Lumaze that
yeah.
came to town? I was a
that.
Parking attendant for 1 year for that.
For and all you know,
I
Limits parked your car, Bob.
I used to sell shoes.
Did you?
Yeah.
Now that is a perfect. You would be great at setting guys up with their suit and their shoes.
Yeah, I kind of like that stuff. I mean, yeah. I would, if I could be somebody who, you know, when this is all done, either a maitre d', I told you once I'd like to be, or
yeah.
some fashion consultant, even though I don't know my wife. Knows
that would
me.
Be wonderful for you.
And by the way, I like your sport coat today.
Thank
I
you.
Know,
I have a little event to get to today.
On the,
yeah.
Social media sites.
Are they?
Yeah.
He wore it to dinner.
I got it right before dinner at the, Joseph A. Bank out at Ross Park Mall. The women in there were wonderful. I said, I'm here and I'm going to dinner and I don't have a jacket. So you can, treat me like a doll and just whatever you want to put me in, I'll wear. And they picked out this jacket and this nice shirt
it's
to go under
nice.
It, Bob.
Very professional. Don't you feel better when you dress up?
I do.
There's something about that.
Yeah. Well, I was a gift wrapper at a place called Wrap and Pack in Shadyside.
Sirloin and Wrap and Pack.
It's a deep bag right there, Bob.
And a pizza cook. And what else did I do, Bob? Oh, I did park cars at the Chatham Center parking garage.
Did you ever caddy? You didn't like golf, but I used to do that.
No. That's
I work
a great
at a golf
job.
Club down at Beaver Lakes in Aliquippa, Pennsylvania.
Is that Shadow Lakes now?
No, it's Shadow Lakes, right. But I used to. It used
I
to
saw
be
J.S. Auban
golf.
There once playing golf. Luckily, Barrasso wasn't there too.
But he. But that's a great experience. You meet a lot of good people. You learn about. That's how I learned about golf.
Joe, somebody just texted in. Did you really clean porta potties? No, I didn't do that.
Bob, we once did a topic. What is the worst possible job? And we came up with porta potty cleaner, and we had a guy on the road call us and tell us exactly how they do it. They basically hook a hose up in there, get as far away as possible, and blow the whole thing out.
Where does it go, though? I mean, where does you put a hose? Does it just suck all the stuff out of the thing?
Yeah, well, at least a lot of it.
And listen, they if you go to some parks, they have a thing on when you go inside how often they're treated.
That's the first thing I look at.
Me too, but then I always catch it at the last day.
Right.
And by then, it's just.
It had more blowouts than the 1960 World Series.
You look down in there, I'm like, I don't want to be in here. What am I doing? Why can't I get in there?
It's a last resort.
When the cleaning day was, and I would tell my wife, well, we have a free porta potty in case I have to use. There's no one in there yet. Let's go.
Right. That's always that and the elevator. before I even press the button.
The elevator?
I check the last time that elevator was checked.
No, you don't. Yes, I do.
If it's not to my liking, I'm walking stairs.
What would be to your liking? I mean, how?
If it's more than a year old, 2 years old, it needs to be a fresh elevator check. And certainly a porta potty, but that's more out of curiosity.
Bob,
think of some of the horrifying things we've all seen. But what are you going to do?
I mean, if you have to go, you have to go.
Yeah.
At concerts, you see it all the time. Like 1,000 of them lined up.
Yeah. You don't sit on the seat, though, if you're in that emergency. You have to do a standing eight count, right?
And you have to have good squatting. That's why you go to the gym.
That's the only thing you can do with that.
Remember that fight video from the porta potty a couple years ago at the concert?
What happened? Tell me about that.
Oh, my gosh. Bob, you clearly have a more vivid memory of it than me.
I was there that night. I had no idea it happened, but I saw the video afterwards. I said, no. Getting this happened down there, but you saw
that was Morgan Wallen at PNC Park, right?
Morgan Wallen.
What happened?
Well, I don't know exactly what happened, but a woman was in one of them, and another woman wanted to get into it. And there's a guy who got involved into it too, and he threw the one woman out of there, and then they got after each other. I think were they both arrested?
I don't know if anybody was arrested, but it was an iconic fight video, Joe.
A porta potty.
It involved a porta potty. Texter says Limits would have sand kicked in his face as a lifeguard.
Well, this was at a pool, right?
There was no sand at the pool. This wasn't on the beach. Do you imagine me trying to swim into the ocean and save somebody from like a shark or
something? There's a shark attack. No. Please, lifeguard, come and get me. There's a shark. You ain't going anywhere near there.
The shark would think he was a minnow, Bob. 412-928-9370. Let's do all calls next. Some old school sports talk radio.
The lines are filling up like Molsey at a craft beer house.
Like Crowley at Mountaineer Park.
Like Pony at a Syracuse game, which he went to this weekend. They beat Pitt basketball.
Like Benzie in the Carrier Dome.
Like Bob at a wine tasting event.
Like Limits at a Drew Aller autograph signing.
Like Joe at a Jackson Dart convention. We could keep going.
What would a Jackson Dart convention look like, Bob? He would have to run into the wall with his head.
He's dating some influencer. Have you seen those pictures?
Of course you saw that, Bob.
I did see that.
Yeah, I saw that too.
I mean, how could you not? It was being tweeted everywhere. So now, you know, that's a component of his life that'll change things, potentially. He's got to watch out for that.
Yeah. Listen to the Pomp and Joe show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contest. Run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Cloudy and 32 degrees at kickoff. Franco Harris, a low of 30.
Good choice today.
Yeah, man. A low of 30. Jalen Warren.
Jalen Warren.
Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Let's just get your vibe on this thing next. It feels like a good one right here. All three in here say win. Cabali said loss. Crowley said loss for the whole show, Bob. And then in the last segment, he played the Steelers fight song and said win.
So he switched his... Oh, man.
Yeah, at the last second.
Pittsburgh's gone to Super Bowl.
For that to happen, it starts tonight. Against the Houston Texans. If they win that game on the road to New England, a house of horrors which could change. This could be the magical year, Austin.
There we go. Pittsburgh's gone to Super Bowl. There we go.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.